Hey guys, welcome to the Brent Gambrell Podcast. Brent is a speaker, author, and missionary.
An unconventional and reluctant missionary.
Yes, to both of those. But join Brent as he shares some of his favorite sermons throughout the years and even has some in-person conversations. So join us.
We are back.
It's been a while.
I know. It feels like it has been.
Hello, men. I almost said boys, but I figured that would offend you.
Yes. Yes, it would.
Yeah, absolutely. So offended.
Okay. I gotta tell you guys. Shout out to Jason Wallen, a buddy of mine. He texted me. He was listening to the podcast the other day, and I'm going to read you his text. It was hilarious. He said, I was going to email you. I didn't want to bother you. He said, I was listening to your Malachi sermon podcast, and I loved it. I lost it when you told the story about the lady watching the silversmith. He went on to talk about how that really blessed him. But then he said, on a lighter note, my six-year-old son also heard part of it in the truck with me and said, who is that woman? I said, that's a man named Brent. He said, how do you know that is a man? I said, because I know him. Mama and I went to Haiti with him. He then asked, why does that man sound so sassy? I thought I might wreck the truck laughing. Said, I just wanted you to know that, and I'm glad you addressed it on your Lazarus podcast, or none of us would have gotten it.
Right.
So thanks so much, Jason. You blessed my day. I'm not a woman. But apparently I'm one sassy man.
Sassy man. Yes. You are.
Do you watch a lot of British women's television, though?
He does, actually. I really do like it a lot. But I will say this.
And can understand.
I think it's because the little boy heard all the multiple voices that you do in your messages.
No, he just heard the Metro.
No, we all know that. We know. Well, but again, also you do the voices.
For those that don't know, I'll say it again. Several of the Metro Bible study, old Bible stories, the Bible studies that we're putting out, they recorded it at some weird speed.
Yeah.
And they recorded it at the speed to get you in the time frame.
Apparently.
You've been listening to six-hour podcasts.
In about 30 minutes.
It's the chipmunk version.
It really is.
Yeah, but it's still, the sass is still there despite the
speed. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, and that's the Brent we've had to introduce the last couple of weeks was early 2000s Brent talking about messages that still apply. And
absolutely.
Fun fact, I mean,
funny how the Word of God is timeless.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember at a time, gosh, I think it was 08, got back from San Diego. I went out there to work as a youth leader. Things did not work out. So I'm back in Tennessee getting the most random jobs I could find. This was when you couldn't get any jobs.
Is that when you were the Easter Bunny?
That was right around the time I was Easter Bunny. After that, I was putting tile on houses, delivering pizzas, but I did have an iPod Mini, and I remember putting those, because you had discs at one point that you sold at your store. Yeah. I put those discs on an iPod Mini, and I would listen to those, because I was pretty angry and bummed out. I'm like, I need, so that.
Wow, that's cool.
I hope it encouraged you during that time.
That's cool.
I really do.
Absolutely.
And look at you now.
Look at me now.
Absolutely.
Look how far you've come. Sitting in a closed room with the three of us together.
That's right.
Absolutely. Finding a way to get lost within four buildings. So
if people don't know this, there's a Grand Prix is in Nashville. Indy Grand Prix is going to be this weekend, and they've got the entire city shut down.
Yep.
So if you're planning this weekend, I don't think this will air till it's over, but don't come to Nashville right now. Not fun to try to get anywhere. Anyway.
It's not.
All right.
That's funny.
Let's go ahead and get started.
Yeah, I guess we could do that.
Was really thinking hard on what we would discuss today, and it just seems like, and I've stopped watching the news. Literally, I literally turned off my Comcast. I don't have that anymore. I don't get the news stations. I'll listen to something occasionally, but still, just on the social media alone, I wanted to do a talk today. I wanted us to just discuss. I was originally going to say, okay, what the world needs now is love, sweet love, or something cheesy like that.
Burt Bacharach.
But it's true. What does
Kelly,
the
don't act like you don't know Burt.
That's the song. What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
Didn't Diana Ross sing that?
She did, but Burt Bacharach wrote it and performed it first, I'm pretty sure.
He was also doing it, performing it in Austin Powers. He was on the, did you see that movie?
No, Christians don't see that movie.
No.
Oh, man. What's that like? We watch Fireproof, okay?
That's right. Nothing
and,
but.
And only Fireproof.
Shout out to the Kendrick Brothers.
There we go. Thanks, Kendrick Brothers.
Angry Kirk Cameron, right? I'm seeing him angry for hour and 30 minutes.
That's right. And he doesn't do angry well because he's just too sweet.
Right.
Yes. Anyway. We love Kirk Cameron.
I hate you, wife. Sorry.
Anyway. Well, so, but that's what I wanted to talk about. Was what the church, what Christians need to be right now, more than ever. And so Genesis 12:2 is where I got started. God told Abraham, you're blessed to be a blessing. What does that mean? That means that your gifts are the gears in kind of God's machine. And he's given you gifts, he's blessed you, because he wants to calibrate your gifts into this big machine to make the whole world kind of work. We're part of the body. Part of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is not just made up of people. It's made up of a multitude of gifts that God gives us. Personality gifts. Gifts to work within the world and bless the world. I was asked a long time ago, what is my responsibility as a Christian? And I looked up the word responsibility, and it comes from the words ability and respond. We're supposed to cultivate our ability to respond to God and to the world. That's it. That is our responsibility on the planet, which means we're supposed to grow our gifts, those things. We are stewards of the gifts that God gives us. They're his gifts, spiritual mm-hmm. gifts. We always hear the gifts of the Spirit. Right. But there's so many more gifts.
Yeah, I never did well on that. I'm not a good test taker, so I somehow failed that test,
too. You failed the spiritual gifts test? I don't think that's possible.
I really don't think so, it's either.
Look, I've done some impossible things.
You made a D on the spiritual gifts.
Wow. Oh, that's passing. D is passing.
Yeah, you do have spiritual gifts. You do. It's just apparently not listed in any of the...
Apparently, yeah. And that's the thing, too. I was just
that's one of the things that I was getting at.
I think it's better if people tell you as opposed to... Oh, this is what I have. Because there's people that do say, oh, I've just a few people I remember in my college ministry that they would say they have the gift, you know, something that.
The gift of prophecy, the gift of.
I hate it when people say I have the gift of encouragement, like, and they're like, you're so stupid.
Yeah.
Some people think they have a gift that they don't.
Whatever gift is
and
like.
As one that has the gift of encouragement, I want to encourage them to look for another gift.
Right. Encourage you to let me tell you that you're wrong. We have some that, I remember one going, whatever gift is that. That makes you a nice person. Hospitality, is that a spiritual gift?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So people that would say that, and it's like, you're the meanest person I've ever met. That's not...
I know, yeah. I think they took it as like, maybe they can create a good party.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, that's not what that means.
Yeah. That's where I was like, I would take it, and I'm like, I'll just... Someone will tell me. I don't know.
I remember one time somebody told me, that, like, you have the gift of shepherding. I'm like, I do not carry a hook, and I don't wear a cloak. Like, what?
Go, you're like, go away.
But you do.
Well.
You do.
I still am not 100% sure what that means. But
well,
Bear?
You're a good leader. But that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today is it's not just preachers and musicians and missionaries that have these gifts and what we're supposed to do with them. Can you talk? Can you listen? These are gifts. Can you organize? Are you strong in your faith? Can you love people? Are you patient with old people? Do you like numbers? You know, it's funny because when I was first studying this, I was looking for a new employee. We were looking for a new employee. Mm-hmm. And I actually wrote this. I'm looking for a mission-minded, tech-savvy person with the gift of hospitality.
Well, you just described Ashley Hall.
I just described our newest employee with A Door to Hope. Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
I wrote this months and months and months and months ago. Mm-hmm. And yet, that's who God brought us. And all those are gifts. She likes numbers. That's a gift.
Oh, she loves it. Spreadsheets are her jam. And I love that they are because they are neither one of ours.
That is a gift that I do not possess.
I get angry when I look at spreadsheets.
I know.
I get angry when I see people get excited about spreadsheets. I'm like,
you don't even like the people who like spreadsheets.
Right. I'm like, you know, there's television, right? There's things that move on screen. And you look at these boxes and get excited.
I know. She
I'm like,
but tech-minded people, graphic-minded people.
Just kidding. I like Ashley.
I get it.
I don't. Just, yeah. Okay.
Do you love kids? This is a gift. These are gifts that you were given as a steward. And a steward is somebody who just holds on to the gift and uses it the way God wants them to. My go-to when I think about analogies is food, though. I know that's a shocker.
Shock. I think we both were like, what? Like, I kind of wish sometimes these podcasts or videos, because Lee and I both like shook our head like, what? Food?
No.
No, whatever. Stop it.
Who has the gift of encouragement in the room? No one. But no, I say that.
We
I
actually
say,
are encouraging you.
You really
your
are.
Food
yeah,
eatiness.
You're a good rhino.
Thanks so much.
Anyway. That's an inside joke. I don't know if that made. I don't know if we got that part earlier, but I didn't. You said I called you a rhino. I did not.
I don't remember
what I said, but I don't think I called.
I thought you called him a hippo, and then he said he'd rather be a rhino.
No, he called me a rhino, which is an underhanded. It's an underhanded compliment to call you a hippo. That's all it is. You know, a rhino is a hippo with, with strength. That's all
See?
It is.
Compliment.
And a really pointy nose.
Okay,
oh.
Back to the message. Wow. Okay.
Is ADD a gift? Because
we got it today.
We're two or more gathered.
I talked about, I wanted to talk about my food analogy is this, that God kind of putting together a recipe for the world, kind of the huge stew, and we as Christians are to be the flavor. Mm-hmm. We're to be the flavor. We're to be the, but what flavor are you is the question. You know, are you cumin? You know, I don't even know what that tastes like.
Cumin,
are you tarragon?
Cumin nature.
I don't. Oh wow,
that was bad.
That was
right.
That was I know. Yeah. But are you garlic? Are you nutmeg? Are you ginger? We talked about gingers earlier. anyway,
wow.
I say that to say we're to be the flavor of the world, and we're also to be the light of the world. You know that. Mm-hmm. And but again, what colored light are you? I always decorate with all white lights. And then I looked in my neighborhood were two houses that won number one and number two in the county.
Yeah.
For Christmas decorations.
They are
it
nice.
Was honestly like it was the Griswolds.
Yeah.
It was amazing. But they use all colored lights.
Well, color lights, they have decorations on the lawn. They have. Blow up things.
They had everything in the world. But it added so much flavor.
Mm-hmm.
My white lights were so... We're supposed to be the color in the world as well. Not just what color are you in the world? Mm. What light do you give off? And so that...
Magenta.
I like that. That's cool. You give off magenta.
I do.
I'm a black light, I think. I just
you
just
show me all this junk?
I just illuminate
clothes.
The lint. You know, that's all I do.
Whatever color a heat lamp is at KFC, that's...
that's you.
Yeah.
That's you. Okay, so here's the scriptures. We all know them. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We're to be salty and lit. That's what we're to be.
It's the most millennial thing.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, I hate to say this in the midst of this because it's a great message that we're talking about, but you saying salty and lit, it just...
It ain't... It doesn't
sound... No. It doesn't work.
Well,
it doesn't
be salty and lit. It doesn't work for me. It doesn't. I can't do it. I really can't. But that's the truth.
Brent now runs a barbecue. He now runs a barbecue joint.
Salty and lit.
Be salty and lit.
That's it. I love it.
But you are right. We are to be salt and light. I feel like if I said lit, people would turn over in their grave. But
right.
But that is
we don't
the
get
truth.
Lit. We go to Chick-fil-A.
Creative people add flavor to the world. Salty people. That's one of the ways I look at salty, in the positive. Creative people. My pastor, when I was ordained, he made a statement that I still think was an underhanded compliment. But I was ordained, and he talked to the congregation. He said, some people color and stay within the lines. Brent doesn't even have the same coloring book as the rest of us. He was like, he doesn't stay in the lines. I don't even know the book he's coloring in.
He's coloring in a phone.
I'm going to take that as the highest compliment.
Yeah,
I guess.
He's coloring in an instruction manual.
I think my job in the whole world is to add flavor, is to add that.
Yeah.
Add a little interest to the world. That's one of the gifts God gave me
out. That's been your life. That's not many people grew up filing away words. You know, you had a file for words.
I did. I enjoy words.
In second grade, you had files for words.
I
were
did.
Big
all,
in
my,
vocabulary.
All the new words.
You became the first male cashier at KFC because you were so out of the box. You were doing puppet shows.
I was with the chicken in the back. You can do little puppet shows in the back, and they put me as the first cashier for Kentucky Fried Chickens.
And you were probably really
good
at
it. I was the first male cashier.
Yeah, so that's just a small example of...
Yeah.
But that's the gifts God gave me.
Yeah.
Is just to be loud and stupid and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I learned at a very young age that salt can also have negative connotations.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I mean, we even kind of talked about it earlier today. It's just... You know, when you say salty, the world's view is when a person is, you know, like, well, they're really salty. It's probably somebody you don't like or you didn't want to have a conversation with or, I mean, like.
Isn't it funny that it's changed and the world doesn't like
now
salt?
Now it's bitter. Like, wow, he's being salty.
Well, and think about, you know, anytime you have a heart issue, the first thing they say is cut out all salt. Like, it immediately is bad for you. It's bad for you because you had too much of it.
And that's what I learned at a very young age, is that I always say salt is to be like water chestnuts. Water chestnuts are to be in a thing, but not to be a thing itself.
Yep.
That's true.
If you have a bowl of salt, you're just not going to grab a spoon.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I know people that are just salty all the time.
Yep.
They're just, and it's just annoying. And Christians can sometimes, I'm to be the salt of the earth. I'm to come in and add the flavor to the... And it's the wrong flavor. It's bitter in the mouths of the people that... And so we have to watch that, especially as Christians in the world today. We can't come over too strong. It is... salt, in its essence, is to be a season to be added lightly to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, as a Christian, especially in the commentary today, I look at the commentary today on social media. Christians, I'm sorry... Wake up and see that you're supposed to add flavor to the world, not just put a bad taste in everybody's mouth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I look at salt that way, but the lit people, the light of the world. I want you to see on my notes.
I only see my name.
I wrote Kelly as the light of the world. Why? Because light. People that are light up a room when they walk in.
Yep.
We were just in the Dominican this past week, and there were three or four of us sitting at a table, and Kelly walked into the room, and she saw somebody on the other side of the room, and Kelly has a squeal.
Yep.
I knew it wasn't going to be nice for too
long, so I was
waiting. I'm
Kelly
like...
has this, I can't even do it. I can't do it that high.
Yeah,
she was like, oh, and it was somebody that she had seen two days earlier.
Yeah.
But the first thing that the guy sitting next to me said is, Kelly makes everybody feel special.
True.
Feel like they're the first person they've ever seen, feel like they're so special and that she misses them.
Yep.
And that's what it means.
Wow.
And
thank
this
you.
Was the scripture that came to mind. It's the Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring the good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. That scripture, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Did you know that was a colloquialism way before it was in the scripture?
Okay.
It literally meant, it was like an old saying, and Isaiah put it in the scripture, But it was an old saying way before that. And it literally meant you can tell by somebody's feet when they walk in a room if they're bringing good news.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. If somebody's dragging their feet, you're going, uh-oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's an encouragement to keep a bounce in your step. Wow. So that when you walk in a room, people are glad to see you. Because they know you're bringing good news always. And so I'm actually, I have a tattoo that says bondservant on my wrist. That scripture is going on my foot.
Got a tattoo.
Whatever. That scripture is going on my foot.
Well, I love, you know, that's the scripture that we have on our shirts for 80.
Yeah, yeah.
That was, I mean, when we were trying to even come up with just, not even just merch to sell, but the message that we wanted to relay about Haiti, it was how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what we look like truly, that it doesn't have to be American, it doesn't have to be Haitian. It's just, if you're bringing the gospel, it's beautiful.
It is. Just, but we're to make sure that we're the vessel to bring the gospel. People, that this scripture is an encouragement to say, make sure that people are glad to see you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Make sure that when you walk in the room, they're not like, oh, here comes Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
Here comes that person's going to judge me.
Yeah.
Here comes that salty person.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because I've been that person several times, and I look back and going, man, that.
Yeah.
You check out. You go on autopilot.
Yeah.
And people notice. I think when I act like that, I'm like, oh, no one's going to notice. I'm just going to go under the radar. But people notice. And
they
so,
do. They do. Yeah. I want people to be glad to see me mm-hmm. and know that I'm bringing good news.
Yes.
And know that good news, even if I don't feel it at the moment. You know, my mother passed away about 5 weeks ago.
Has it been 5 weeks?
It's been about 5 weeks now.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
About 5 weeks ago now. She passed away. And people asked me if I was going to preach the next Sunday.
Mm.
And I said, yeah. I am. Yeah. And I wouldn't have preached the next day. I think emotionally I just was not.
No,
ready.
No.
But I believe the gospel is true.
Right.
I believe that I'll see my mother again. I believe that with all my heart. In fact, there's more people up in heaven that I love now than probably here on the planet. And it's making heaven look a lot better.
Now, listen, I've said that even, I think it was my pastor. Somebody posted something about, you know, this life is temporary, and I just said that hit so home to me when my mom passed away.
Absolutely.
And it's just mm-hmm. there are more people, I hate to say that, but like the old, somebody asked me, and it was right after my mom passed away, but they're like, what's your 5-year plan? Which I hate that. I'm like, because I don't know what God has planned for me in 5 years.
I used to. I paid a lot of money for those kind of plans.
I had them ask me that when I was interviewing for the Easter Bunny job.
Wow.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Not here. Not in this Easter Bunny costume.
And chill with the 5 years question. This job ends after Easter. Jeez.
But I remember somebody asked me, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I said, if I had to honestly answer that question now, I want to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, as a mother, I think I'd love to see who my daughter marries, what sport my son decides to play in high school. Is it baseball, football, basketball?
Right.
But honestly, if I were completely honest, gut-wrenchingly honest, I mean, I want to be in the presence
even now
of
come
the
Lord.
Lord. Yeah.
Even now come, Lord. But I wanted to, you know, when I walked in that church that day to preach, I had a bounce in my step. I wasn't faking any of it.
Yeah.
I have not lost the bounce in my step. I'm emotional, and I have been for weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I have the hope of glory, and I don't say that lightly. When you go through a time like this, you really do go, this is real.
Yeah.
And my faith will carry me to heaven, and praise God that I have that, and it gives me joy. So I don't know, as the salt and light, my job is to show people that there's a flavor behind the mourning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's another flavor behind the time of mourning. There's another light behind the dark time that you're going to have. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny we're stumbling upon this just because last weekend, I was in Missouri, and this random couple reached out to me on Facebook. I guess they were there last time I was in Missouri. But they wanted to like take me out, show, like they even wanted me to stay at their house. It was all the, like their hospitality level was through the roof. But they're business owners, and they own a hot sauce store on this old, in Old Town St. Charles, and they own a olive oil, an olive oil store. So
these could be my best friends.
Yeah. And if anybody, and these people are flavor aficionados.
How cool.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So just the thought that goes into flavors, the attention that goes into an experience of a flavor, it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that carries over.
Well, but isn't it amazing, though, too much of anything you can tell, not enough of something you can tell.
Like, yep.
There is just a perfect amount that you... That you're like, okay, that makes it perfect. And that's what I feel like the, you know, when you think about even that scripture where it says, you know, if a salt loses its saltiness, like how can it get back? It's good for nothing.
Yep.
Except for to be trampled. And so I think about that. Let me pose this question. As a believer, and maybe you're going to touch on this or if I'm interjecting where I'm not supposed to, but as a believer, sometimes you go through that valley. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe not even a valley. Like, I'll just be honest. I mean, your mom passed away 5 weeks ago. And yes, you preach. You have the bounce in this in your step. But there's been moments. It'll be a year Saturday that my mom passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I, going into Dominican, shocker, we're on a podcast. I'm going to cry. But the moment we stepped off the bus and I saw that first little boy and he let me go over and hold him. It was like this joy entered back into my soul.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me think, and I love my children. Like, please don't hear me. Like, my kids bring me joy, but this was just that different kind of joy.
Well,
but I realized
we've been away from Haiti and the Dominican. We've been away from that island for way too long. And our purpose began to fade in my own eyes.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it was. But I just realized that I had been on autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
And almost been moments of numbness. And my mom was never my Holy Spirit, but she was my best friend. She was my spiritual mentor. She was the person that if, you know, the Lord revealed something that morning in quiet time, she'd be the first person I called. Brent, you're usually the second. And I'm like, hey, the Lord revealed this, and we have great conversation mm-hmm. about it. But all that to say is, you know, realizing there's those times of numbness or in the valley, like sometimes I wonder, I'm like, have I lost my saltiness? Like,
mm-hmm. No, but and here's why. What else does salt do? It preserves.
Oh, wow.
It preserves.
Yeah.
They preserved meat for years with just salt and no refrigeration.
Yeah.
And I think spiritually, knowing that we're the salt of the earth, being the salt of the earth as we are, my joy is always preserved in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm to use that in others, too. I'm to use that to preserve what is right and good and holy and in the world. That's what mm-hmm. the salt of the earth is to do. We're to preserve that.
Yeah.
We're to cleanse. We've all gone through the analogy. Salt cleanses.
Yeah.
But that preserving.
Yep.
It preserves me. It preserves the goodness in the world. And that's yep. why I think we're to continue to be the salt.
Yeah, and you can tell when it's genuine. And that's always a big hesitation for me. Like, you act a certain way, like, I hope this is genuine. If you act spiritual for a little bit, you're like, I hope this is genuine. I hope I'm not putting on a front, you know.
I get it.
And one guy comes to mind. He's pretty old school. I don't know if he listens to podcasts, but he... went to MTSU. He actually went to Acclaim for a while in Smyrna. His name was Dave Cantrell, and you would reckon he was like 6'8" or something. And he broke his ankle one time, and he had the tallest crutches you could
That's
ever
right.
imagine.
I think I remember that.
But
was that Australian Dave?
No.
This guy was from Cleveland, Tennessee, and he was a real life Buddy the Elf from movie Elf.
Yeah, yeah.
Was so positive, so happy, so wide-eyed, and you're like, there's no way this guy is real. It was so genuine.
That's a gift.
And talking about the balance, he had that, because I would go to the gym with him, and he was just this hype man. He was so happy. He would just talk. We went on a local mission trip once, and we always lost him, because he would always find some random old couple or somebody he was just talking with.
I love that.
He was always doing that. But we'd go to the gym, these random guys, just rough-looking dudes, just guys that are just there to work out, not talk to anybody. He's striking conversations with them.
Yeah, I love
and
those people.
Then it gravitates or leads into, you know, oh, do you go to church anywhere? Like, it was genuine all around. It was cool how he had it. You would almost think he was there's too much light.
We had somebody that worked in our ministry for a while. His name, and if you're listening, Sean Proctor, love you with all my heart.
I love Sean.
Sean Proctor was the most positive. He told me that I became Garfield to his Nermal. If you ever watched the Nermal, because he was the most positive person, and it almost turned me negative.
Yeah.
He would say something wonderful, say, let's do blah, 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 and I go, that's dumb. And he go, you pop my bubble, that's fine. He was super positive. He just prayed over people. He was just always on, and he still is to this day. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Yeah. That is a gift of God. And you know what it does when that light... we always say it doesn't fight the darkness. That's the thing that when he walked into a room, when light people walk into a room, it dispels the darkness. Darkness doesn't go hide in the corner. It doesn't have to fight it. When you turn on this light in this room, darkness did not go and hide in that corner.
Mm-mm.
It dispels, immediately eradicates the darkness.
Yep.
I've never seen anything like it. I could not be... I mean, I could have been in the worst mood in the world. When Sean walked in, there was just a light in the room. And I love that gift. If you've got that gift, use it more. The world needs it now.
Yeah.
We overlook the impact we have on people every day. How subtle it is, how big it is. I don't think
maybe you're a candle. Maybe you're not. Maybe Sean Proctor, I believe, he was a laser.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
really
a neon sign.
Exactly. Kelly, you're a disco ball. I mean it's a party.
Wow.
I can't tell if she feels insulted or if that's
no,
a compliment.
No, I mean that's the highest compliment to me, but
the face,
wow.
Tell.
But
like,
there's
oh, no.
I think there's
Thank
candles
you.
That just kind of are this warm, wonderful light that you're drawn to. Sean Proctor was a laser. You're the disco ball that brings the party. I love that. But find your gift, find your flavor.
Give me a Zippo, that'd be
Zippo. I'm the tiniest little LED.
I stay.
That is so not true.
I stay like a flame. Yeah, that's awesome.
You're a Zippo. That's hilarious. But I'll say this, though. When you find your gift, when you find what kind of light you are, what kind of salt you are, what kind of flavor, what kind of color you are, it says don't put it under a bushel. Unpack it. Unpack your gift. Remember, a gift usually comes in a box,
right.
And if you leave it in the box, I had a roommate. He was a geek. In fact, he's about to become my roommate again, Daniel. If you're listening, welcome back.
A geek. That's
I know
the, yeah.
He's still a geek.
We'll
I love
tell
him
that to his face. Don't
oh,
worry.
Oh, he loves. He's the king of the geeks.
I love it.
But I bought him a gift one year for Christmas, and it was an Iron Man action figure thing. It was the coolest thing in the world, and I went to the shop and I talked to them about it because I knew nothing about these things, and they were like, oh yeah, this is collector, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Got it to him, and I was like, okay, let's open it. And he was like, no.
I
never
understood that.
We See, don't same. Open them.
Flip side of that, so I grew up loving WWF wrestling, and I had the action figures, and there was a Jake the Snake Roberts that didn't exist anymore. And this was like 95. We found one in New York. We had to call, and I found out it was like $70. And my
still in the box though, right?
Good Lord, no. when that came to my, which I was blown away even as a kid that my dad bought that for me, and we couldn't really afford it, but it was the birthday gift.
Oh, that's cool.
And he was like, "All right, that's cool. You got that. You're gonna keep it. Oh, nope, not keeping it in the box. Okay."
I took
it out of the box instantly.
That's the fun part.
I
want
to play
with
it. I wanted to use it.
Well, think about how do you become salt and light. Open the Word.
Yeah.
You get in the Word. Like, don't keep it in the box.
Yeah. And we're to be the Word of God to others. And I think some people take up space on the planet, just like that trophy on his shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people live. And you're only really going to live and suck the life out of life when you're living within your gifts.
Yep.
When you are being salt and light to the world. Does that make sense? It just... If you keep the gift in the box, if you're not expressing that gift, it's just a trophy.
Right.
Yep.
It's just something sitting on the shelf. And my sister was a better singer than me.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
I've never heard her sing.
No one has. I got her to sing one time at a wedding, and she carried me through the whole song. I even forgot the words. And I'm the one that went to school for it. But my sister sings better than me, and that has stayed in the box. Cindy, if you're listening, I'm telling you.
Cindy, I'm disappointed that we haven't heard it.
She sings so much better than me. She has a beautiful voice. I know of so many people that their gifts have stayed in the box. My buddy Jack Smith, I've talked about him before. Jack Smith is
I love Jack.
I know you finally got to meet Jack.
I love Jack.
Well, Jack was a baseball player and went through the minor leagues. But Jack was also one of the most amazing pianists I have ever heard in my life. Even as a child,
yep.
He was amazing, and nobody knew
that's,
it.
That's my dad with guitar.
I want to give some life hacks for the lit. I know. Isn't that clever?
Oh, wow. I wish we had a drum. Ba-bum-bum.
I know. Life hacks for the lit or stuff for the salty. Here's some stuff for the salty.
Life hack for the lit is better than the...
I know. I actually wrote not that creative next to that statement.
Now that's a salty comment.
First, that ready? Salty saints. Sprinkle, don't pour. If you're a salty saint, sprinkle, don't pour.
Ooh, and the way to sprinkle is apparently, I learned this from like a little tidbit on the show, you got to put the salt on your hand first.
And pinch it.
And then drop it in there. I'm like, that's...
Yeah. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect.
Mm.
That's how you sprinkle, not pour. Yeah. We're to be the salt of the earth, but we're to do it with gentleness.
And respect. I think that's the key. Like, I see so many shirts that say, you know, be kind, where I feel like, that needs to be changed to... Be gentle, be respectful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If we treated everyone with gentleness and respect, how different would the world look?
Yeah. Oh, crazy. Yeah. Next, lit people. All you people that are the light of the world, don't just shine. I know people that their motives are wrong when they shine.
I'm sorry. All I can think is shine, bright, shine.
See, I was thinking shine, Jesus, shine. Anyway. A light, what is a light to do? A light does not draw attention to itself. It illuminates something else.
Yeah, there's a bit of some people like love positivity, but I think some people live in the slogan world of positivity.
And they draw attention to themselves.
And it loses its appeal. It doesn't come
absolutely
off genuine. Just
a light is supposed to draw attention to something other than itself.
And vibes your way.
Yeah. Get them. Verse 16, anyway, going through the same scripture, says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Right.
The very first sin was done by the angel of light.
Yep.
And that was when he said, I don't have to worship that guy.
Yeah.
He was the angel of light that wanted to draw attention to
light.
Himself.
Yep.
And that's a huge thing for people that stand in the light, that want to be the light of the world, is they want the spotlight on them. Yeah. And we're to illuminate Christ always.
That's a good point. I don't know that everybody has heard that, you know, Satan was the angel of light.
Too much light, yeah.
Yeah.
Which
the reality is, I feel like, what was his purpose originally? To shine his light on
Christ. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's a great way to, that's a great take on it, because it's all meant to point
to him.
To God.
Which is just that thing of check your motives.
Absolutely.
Why do you do something? You talk about I never say it right, the Bema seat, when we stand before the Lord and we're held accountable for our actions.
Yeah.
I could be completely wrong, and every theologian that listens to this, because there are a lot of theologians that listen to our podcast, are going to come back. But I feel like we are going to be as accountable as much, if not more, for our motives as we are for our actions.
And our motives can never be completely pure, but I'm supposed to check my motives constantly, because God looks on my heart, not on my deeds. Next. If you're the light of the world, keep the lens of your life clean and clear. Do not distort or cloud the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:1-2 says, therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. We do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception or distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Listen, if you're a musician, learn the song. Don't, if that's your gift, what I hate to see on stage in Christian realm, on churches, is somebody standing with the words in a piece of paper that they're, and they're singing.
Mm-hmm.
That drives me crazy. Or somebody that didn't rehearse enough.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that anywhere else, but in church, it's okay. I don't want to have to look past your bad rehearsal schedule to see your Jesus. I don't want to even see you. I want to worship God. Does that make sense? But again, everybody who has a gift should use it to the best of their ability. Listen, next, stay lit. Stay plugged into the power, those of you that are lit.
Just wanted to do a club beat sound.
I know. That's hilarious. It says this, John 15:4, remain in me and I will also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me.
Yep. Starting out your day spiritually in scripture, you might not think it helps, but it will. In the if you start out your morning or whenever you wake up with time it with will. God, with the word, it does carry you through that day.
Yeah,
it's hard to explain, but it does.
It really does.
Well, it fills you. It gives you that joy that we talked about. I think it's just that what we talked about is take it out of the box.
Yeah.
Don't just look at it. Just
but be plugged into the Lord all day long. I have an analogy I use. I've just put my thumb over my veins in my hand.
Congratulations.
Right there, whatever. But what I'm doing is I'm cutting off circulation to my hand. And if you can see, my hand is turning red right now. Do you see it?
I see it.
It's turning bright red right now. Do you know why it's turning red? Not because it doesn't have blood. It's because my hand is now toxifying itself. All the cells of my hand are producing stuff that needs to be washed away by the blood constantly. And my hand is becoming toxic to itself because the flow of the blood is not there. Now, I'm saved, but I have to constantly be in the flow of Christ's blood to keep me plugged in. Does that make sense?
Amen.
To keep the power flowing. That really is what I wanted to say today is if you have a gift, if you are the salt of the earth, if you're the light of the world, whatever your flavor, whatever your color, use it now. The world needs it now more than ever. If you're on social media, make sure that your words are light and salt. If you're standing in front of a corporation, make sure your words are salt and light.
Yep.
No matter what your influence, and everyone is an influencer. I hate that term.
Yeah.
Everyone is an influencer. Yeah. And the people around
them. Leaders, but
yeah. Everyone is an influencer.
Charles Manson. Great influencer.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a whole different topic for a different podcast, but yes.
Just make sure that that what you're sharing is the true light. And
if you don't know, then get someone in your life that can tell, that can help you. Like,
absolutely.
That can be that sounding board for you. I think sometimes we get so, we put blinders on, you know, as to what. So I think it's important to get in the word and then also have people in your life who will put you in check.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, let's pray to end this time together and pray for the people that are listening that they would just grab a hold of their gifts. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for just the opportunity to even through this small podcast, to maybe influence somebody today, to remind them of their own gifts, to find their gifts, to utilize their gifts. Father, you have not given us your salvation for no reason. We are blessed to be a blessing to others around us. Remind us of that, Father, that our lives should absolutely constantly glorify you. And we'll give you the praise, Father. Come quickly, Father. Heaven does look good right now. But until that time, we're your servants. And we love you. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Brink and Brawl podcast. Please subscribe so you can stay up to date on when the newest episodes are released. Also, if you want to find out how to get more involved with Brink and Brawl Ministries, please check out doortohope.com. So that's some waves that I want. All right, there we go. That's it. The waves were getting a little low. They had went keto for a day or two, and now we got waves that are off the bandwagon, and now they're fat again. There we go. We got some fat waves again because we don't. Some friends are better fat.
You call me fat?
I said some friends. You're not.
You called me a rhino earlier.
I did not call you a rhino.
Yes, you did. You called me a rhino, and I said just call me a hippopotamus. At least rhinos are strong, so it was like an underhanded compliment.
Yeah, compliment.
Blah blah blah.
Okay, so I literally just met with this girl who she said that when she was pregnant with their first child, she had on like this all gray outfit, and she got up and walked into the kitchen to go get something to eat, and her husband turns and looks and says, and the hippo returns to the waterhole.
Oh,
my. Like, what? And I'm sitting there at this table with my mouth dropped open. And I looked at her and I said, and you're still married to him.
Don't wear all gray. Don't wear all gray.
She was like, I laughed. I thought it was funny. She goes, and I looked and I was like, oh, yeah, I do look like a hippo. I'm all gray. And I'm like, oh, no.
Again, call me a rhino. That's better. At least they're strong. They're forceful.
They can stay underwater.
That's right. They rhinos break through stuff. I'm not a hippo. I'm a rhino.
Clothes.
They've got their own extra. Hippos stay underwater, right?
Yeah, you don't know.
I'm sorry. I've been watching Shark Week, not Rhino Week.
Okay.